And I stand on what I know before the Pope, yes, before the leaders of Ashur, yes, in Egypt, yes, or any other university on this earth. I stand on what I know. And I tell the world I stand on what I know. Why? Because I am a little man from a little people, been deprived. And what I have is not a testimony to what I am. It's a witness to what Allah can do. Therefore, I tell the world, I stand on my knowledge, because I want the world to see what Allah has done. Don't tell me Allah is not God, ever living, ever aware, ever in charge of things. I was without knowledge, and no man taught me. Allah taught me. And now I stand before the world and I say, come, match what you got with what I got. That ain't no boast. No, that's a boast for Allah. You say God is gone? No, I say he's still here. Azantukum, I call you. You plural, all of you. Adhantukum ala swa si wa. But that's not enough. That's not enough. It's not just suwa. Don't say it like that. You must say suwa. Suwa. And you must cut it with the hamza. Not with the hammer, with the hamza. Yes, and God told him, right? Yes. Allah told him, command comes. Allah says, Qul, telling the prophet to say. He didn't say, Qulu. If he had said Qulu, that means he missioned more than one. That means he told more than one to do it. That meant more than one knew about it. But he didn't say kulu, which means you all say, or you say plural. He said kul. One person was ordered to say. Kul. He said kul. Say, O prophet, adhantukum ala. This is ala. Ala. أذنتكم على سواء. What do you say? Don't you add anything after that. That's it. That's what that means. You stop there and that's it. Don't say another word. Don't interpret it. Don't add your touch to it. That's it. So what is this saying? I call you. You notice this ain't symbolic. I'm not telling you what this means symbolically, am I? I'm telling you what this means literally. Plain. As the law says in the Quran, this book has been revealed in fundamentals, clear, basic. And the other term, you know, for that part that is allegorical or symbolic, or suggestive in its meaning is called allegorical by the translator, right? Yes. But this ain't allegorical here. Say, I call you on terms of equality. That means that somebody or something had happened in the world to bring about a corruption of the call of God, and they weren't calling the people on terms of equality. They weren't calling the people on basis of equality. They weren't calling all the races with equal respect to each race. They weren't calling all the classes, all the people of the different, in the different fields of profession. They weren't calling them with respect, equal respect, the respect that is justly due them. They weren't. There were discrimination. There was discrimination against laborer, against common man, against certain professions, against certain colors of people, against certain races. Right? And this covers it all. Now, let's look at the middle part there. But then comes then. And the way it's used, one aleph is omitted. What aleph is omitted? This one. This one that has the dhamma over it in the word udhun. Udhun. This is udhun. What is udhun? Ears. Ears. Isn't this the way you call people? Don't you call them addressing what you have to say to their ears? The famous words, countrymen, countrymen, lend me your ears. Right? And the book says, whoever has an ear to hear. Right? And the book also says, and above all, get an understanding. Right? Now, if you look, turn sideways, your eyes are standing a little bit above your ears. Your ears want an understanding. The ears want to know what's under the picture. Say, okay, eyes, you did pretty good. That's a nice picture. But give me an understanding. That's why the prophet who heard is put over the prophet who was called to duty in the world. Hearing is first, then duty in the world. How do we know that from the Bible? Samuel. He was called and he heard the Lord. Samuel. Then Samuel passed it on to David. Right? And David became the prophet in the activities of the world. But how did that happen? It had to happen first with one who was able to hear the Lord. And it was Samuel who heard the Lord. What is Sama? Hearing. Arabic. In Hebrew, it's Samuel. But in Arabic, it's Sam. It means hearing. Sam means the power to hear. And Samuel was the power, had the power to hear God. He had the hearing to follow God, to heed God. So he was made a prophet to pass on the blessing to David. He found David in the field. Is that right? And he brought David to David's mission. Right? And David became the worker in the world. Now, we see in the Bible two people, but actually they represent two movements within one human person. You have to hear first before you know what to do. Now, let's see here. You know, excuse me if I act like this sometimes. But my grandfather, he preached and shouted for about 40 years. And my mother was a holiness woman who sung spirituals while she was cooking. So I grew up under those influences. And I think that preacher who started preaching as soon as he got off the boat, some of his genes must be in me, because I just can't help it sometimes. I don't know what it is. Now, Bilal was made the first Mu'adhin, right? He was made the first Mu'adhin. What do we have? Udhun. Ear. Mu'adhin. He calls to the ears. And then, the call that goes from the Mu'adhin to the ears. Right? Yes. You who study Arabic, you know. Udhun, ears. Mu'adhin, one who makes the call, he calls Adhan in the ears of the people. Right? Who got that role in religion under Prophet Muhammad? Bilal, what race was he? Did he look more like us or more like somebody else? All right. Good enough for me. So, there are many expressions in the Quran, commands in the Quran. Ut'u ila sabilillah, call to the way of Allah. Didn't say adhan. A different word is used for call. Da'wah. You see? Said call to the way of Allah with justice. And it goes on. But here is this, when it mentions Siwa and the obligation that is placed on the leaders after Prophet Muhammad to follow his example. That's why that emphasis was on Adhan. You see, I call you this way, so you if you follow me, you call the same way. I didn't slight any people. If you say you follow me, then you don't slight any people. You see? So the emphasis is on what Prophet Muhammad did. You want to know what Prophet Muhammad did? Here's what he did. He called the people equally. He didn't slight any race or any class. You see? But the word is Adhan. And then Bilal is called Mu'adhin. So what is this telling us? I'm talking to my folks. I'm talking to those who come to me as a friend, come to me as a follower. They come to me because they love me and they love what I teach. That's who I'm talking to. The rest of you are hearing, that's grace. Now, if Belial was the one who was given that name, Mu'adhin, that's an indication to the whole world, especially to the Arabs, that you won't be the ones to hear when my community go to sleep. He said, my community is going to sleep. And he told them what's going to bring it to sleep. He said, you're going to get yourselves into the material things. And it's going to cause you to go to sleep. Yes. Now, who's going to wake them up? Belial's job was not so much the night prayer. His job was the prayer just before dawn. His job was to come before the sun come up, while the people are in the bed, inclined to sleep, because that's a good sleep in the morning before dawn. That's the time when you owe you deep in your sleep. You've been doing it. You done got good into it. You have got up a momentum into the sleep. You know, the groove has been set. And before the sunrise, now he gave the role to my forefather to call them up out of their beds and bring them into the light of day. And he gave him the name Mu'adhin. That's not taking anything from the great Khalifas, the rightly guided Khalifas. They acted upon knowledge that Prophet Muhammad had given them, shared with them. And they were able to keep the banner of al-Islam, or the truth of al-Islam, plain and forceful in the world. The Khalifa Abu Bakr, the Khalifa Omar, Ali, and Uthman, and others that followed them, they kept the knowledge up. They kept the knowledge before the people. But soon, the forces of greed began to operate, and Muslims began to break up instead of working together as a unified hand. Didn't Prophet Muhammad show them a hand? One? That's what he told them. Be as the fingers of the hand and make one fist. Yes. That's what he told them. And he told them the Muslim is as the jism, the body of the human being. It's as one body. If any member of that body is affected, the other members come to its aid. Isn't that what he said? That's what he said. But when our fathers from Africa went to Spain and took the Islamic culture there, did they get help from their Arab brothers? The Arab brothers pulled against them. That's right. And they pulled against each other. They divided, became divided among themselves as an ummah, and they became divided among themselves on racial lines. After Prophet Muhammad had came already and killed the devil, Allah bless him, to throw the stone of truth and bust the head of Satan. Then they let the same old Satan come back up. Yes. But the indication in Prophet Muhammad picking Belial is that resurrection would not come from the white. Resurrection will come from the black. Yes. And it has happened. Yes. It has happened. Not all at once. As the sun shineth from the east, even unto the west, come by gradual movement. little bitty. We knew it was coming. That man talked some weird talk, but we knew Elijah had something. It's something is happening. And before Elijah and Drew Ali, our people that heard Drew Ali, they knew he was different. Something is coming. Yeah. And Marcus Garvey. A lot of people don't know that he emphasized God too. And he dressed his women in long dresses and told them to cover their hair. Yes, he did. Marcus Garvey too. We knew something was coming. Yeah. Yeah. And Elijah, man, he was so way out. He was hitting and missing and playing so many notes. He just confounded our senses. And we knew something was coming. Say, yeah, something is there. Something is there. There's got to be something in this man. Something was in him. Where is Dean Muhammad? Yes. I tell you all, I came from about 1,000 years ago. You don't believe it. Yes. Allah bring out of the people by gradual pull. He bring out of the people what he wants. Yes. So we hope to talk on this some more. But let's go to another one. No, pardon me. Let's look at the verses connected with it. Because this is not by itself. This verse is in a verse environment. Praise be to Allah. Let's see. Let's go to the verse before this verse. And the verse before this verse says, verily means without doubt. In the Quran is a message for people who would truly worship Allah. Now let's come to the verse after. We sent you not except as a mercy for all the world. Didn't send you to just Arabs. We have sent you as a mercy for all the worlds. Lil'alameen. And this translator translated for all creatures, which is true. But alim, as it's commonly used, referred to man's world. Human world, you see. So I call you, surely we sent you not, but as a mercy. What is the word mercy? Rahmah, mercy. To all creatures, it says here, or to all the worlds. Let's go up to the verse before the first one I read, verse 106. Let's go to verse 105. It says, before this, we wrote in the Psalms, after the message given to Moses, my servants, the righteous, shall inherit the earth. Now, is this clear or not? No imperialist going to inherit this earth. No white supremacist going to inherit this earth. No racist. Those that are true to their Lord and Creator, they will inherit the earth. That's what it's saying. And the condition down here, I call you all on terms of equality, means that the terms that are needed in order for us to come into this righteousness and accept this equality, we must put down racism. Lovely.
and classism and see ourselves as one living unit working for the pleasure of our Lord. Yes!
Let's go on now. Let's see what's... Look. The verse that comes after the verse that calls us on terms of equality. It says, it is he, meaning Allah, it is he who knows what is open in speech and what you hide.
So we are talking about the need for equality. And it's saying that some people are secretive. Some people are deceitful. They have secrets that they hold over the people's heads. Allah knows it.
Let's go on to the next verse now. This is at the end of the chapter. This message is at the end of this chapter, which tells us that the most important thing in this whole chapter is this message of equality. The 111th verse say, I know not, but that it may be a trial for you and a great upon me, a trial for you and a grant of worldly livelihood to you for a time.
What is it talking about? It's talking about the blessing, the Rahmah to all the worlds. It mentioned the Rahmah, that this is a mercy to all the worlds. It's talking about the Rahmah, the mercy to all the worlds. We know not, I know not, but that it may be a trial to you. This mercy, this great message of truth and equality and prosperity for all alike, Prophet Muhammad said, I don't know. He's talking to his own people. So I don't know if it's going to be a trial for you. God had blessed him through revelation, had blessed him to see that his people weren't going to uphold his great example. They were going to gradually let it down. So he said, I don't know if this may be a trial for you. This great responsibility tried his followers to see if they were the excellence of Prophet Muhammad. And they failed the test. They were excellent, but they were not the excellence of the Prophet. They failed the test. Soon they let the evil forces creep back in and destroy the purity and the equality. Let's go on. Say, for a time. What is this referring to? Not only one, Rahmah is two. The blessing is two. It's material and then it's spiritual. The material, wasn't it a trial? And then they failed that test? What is the spiritual test in it? The requirement for equality. That requires great moral strength. For you to not to exalt your own self or your own race above others. Right? Yes. So the trial there comes in the message, the blessing, which is the Rahmah. And this term is not speaking hanging in space or new term. In fact, the Quran tells us that this is no new put together message. It's a correction and a completion. A correction on those scriptures that were messed up and a completion for the future of the whole humanity. Right? Okay. So let's look to the previous scripture. Says, before that awful and dreadful day of the Lord, I will send you Elijah the prophet. Is that not right? That's their book, right? Or is he talking about his father? No. It's a type. A type representing what has to come. Okay. What does Elijah represent?
Servant.
He represents a double blessing, yes. He represents interpretation that makes possible the double blessing. The double blessing. And he told Elisha, he said, if you be with me when I'm taken, I'll give you a double portion of my spirit. Is that right? A double portion of my spirit. Meaning not only the spiritual insight, but also the scientific, the rational, material insight. So the Quran brought sciences along with spiritual and moral excellence, didn't it? Yes. Wasn't that a double blessing? Isn't that a double mercy? Some people are grouping those saints in religion. They group and struggle for understanding, and they are really tortured because they can't find the truth, and they are put into a lot of lies. They live their life struggling and searching for the light. Didn't they need mercy to understand the spiritual mysteries? Yes. So they needed a portion of God's mercy to come to their spiritual understanding, to give them spiritual insight. But those people working in the ordinary fields over the world, not having the sciences to improve the condition of their material state, didn't they also need a mercy? And didn't it come as a fact? Isn't it a fact that the Quran came as a double mercy? Yes. And Elijah is a sign of that. That mercy comes by correct interpretation. The truth is here, but it's shrouded. It's sealed, it's covered, it's hidden by the kafirs who have kufr, cover. Yes. Kufr is the disease of the kafirs. Do you know that? Kufr is the disease of the kafirs. And kufr sounds very much like cover. And the Bible says that he shall, that the cover shall not be long enough. He shall expose the man of sin. Hear what he said? And that what the book says? Yes. Say it'll be, the people used to sing, you know, the old folks. They used to sing. Say it's going to be so short that when he try to cover his head, his feet's going to show. They try to cover his feet, his head show. Yeah. So you think kufr is a new word. Kufr ain't no new word. It's talking about an old thing. Around here calling Christians the kafirs. You don't know what you're talking about. Christians ain't no kafirs. You might find among them a kafir, but they ain't no kafir any more than you're kafir. Now you go tell the wide-eyed blind sheikh that. Let's go now to, yes, we're going over time, but don't worry, you'll be all right. Don't worry. We're going to fix it so I believe you're going to be right. Your schedule is going to be just right. Let's go now to the third chapter of the Quran. Let's see, third chapter. Yes. Surah Al-Imran. The chapter Imran. And we want to go to the 50th verse. And you will see that these verses that we're getting ready to discuss now, they come in a verse environment wherein Jesus is highlighted. All right? And if you notice, the verse that I just read, the verse environment that we just read from, we saw there that the thing that's highlighted there
is the need for righteousness, purity, equality. All right? And what's highlighted there most is the need for equal dealing with all people. Right? Okay. Now we come to some, and the word that was used was sweat. So let's put it back on the board. We want to put this word back on the board because it's the key word. Sweat. Okay? Sweat. All right. Terms of equality. Now, in the previous verse we read, this word was standing alone. It says, I call you Allah on Siwah. Right? Okay, now let's see this verse we're going to come to. But we want to read all of these verses first. And I'll read just the English to save time. I'm beginning now with verse 50, the translation. I read, I have come to you to attest the law which was before me, and to make lawful to you part of what was before forbidden to you. I have come to you with a sign from your Lord, so fear Allah and obey me. Now, let us make quick comment on this first verse that I'm reading. Although the whole environment that exists, that this is in, is on the same problem. But this is more specifically addressed to what we are talking about here. Let's look here now. I have come to you to attest law which was before me, and to make lawful to you part of what was before forbidden to you. Now, so the Quran, see, the Bible says that Jesus said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law of the prophets. Is that right? That's the Bible's language. But here the Quran is saying the same thing, but saying it more clearly. See, Jesus says, but to fulfill, mean to keep it on, to extend it until it's where Allah intends for it to be. The law has not yet reached its fulfillment. The law must be carried to its fullness, right? The law, to its fullness. If truth is carried to its fullness, there will be no injustice. So as long as there is a need for more justice, then the law must be carried further. It must be fulfilled. All right? And the Quran making it plainer, helping us to see what the New Testament talking about, says, to you, yes, to make lawful, which was before me, and to make lawful, meaning something wasn't lawful yet, right? To make lawful to you part of what was before forbidden. To make lawful now something that was unlawful before among you. What was unlawful? And believe me, Muslims in the intelligentsia of Arabia, Egypt, Pakistan, all the great centers, all the great centers, excuse that slip, it wasn't me. In all the great centers, they have this problem. They think that still is forbidden to give the meat of the knowledge to common people. So they keep it to themselves, and you can't get it until you pass their ritual test. You have to pass their ritual initiation before they will share with you what they got. You have to prove that you are obedient to them like you should be to Allah. If you can prove to them that you obey them like you should obey Allah, that the fear of displeasing them is as strong as your fear that should be for Allah to displease Allah, then they will trust you because they know that you are their complete dummy. Once they are convinced that you are their total, complete dummy, their total slave, then they will share a little bit with you. This is too big a subject for today. Yes, because now we come to the message of Abd, slave of God, and how that term itself broke, shattered that kind of belief. Yes, but that's too much for right now. I will simply say this, that in the Quran, all the people that believe in this religion are addressed slaves of God. That's telling the sheikh, that's telling the rabbi, that's telling the priest, you are not entitled to a worshiper. They are all worshipers of Allah. They are not to be your servants, they are the servants of Allah. And we're going to come to it. Yes, baby, we're going to come to it. So what was unlawful that he made lawful? Yeah. They charged Jesus with going and giving the people the... Is it okay to do this? It's taking more time. They charged Jesus with doing what? Giving the people... the shoe, the show, the bread. Right? On the Sabbath day. On the Sabbath day. Oh, buddy, this is too much. I'm telling you, it's too much. What I mean is too much for a mortal to know that God can reach a mortal and teach him as a man, teach a man. It's too much. Oh, yeah. Yeah, who you think taught me this? I'm just getting this now. So, the book says that Jesus was condemned for giving the people the, it's called shoe bread, look in your Bible, it's also called show bread. Why these two definitions? Shoe, the foot. What does shoe bread mean? The fundamental. Foot is the basis that you stand on. So shewbread means the fundamental knowledge. That supports the rest of the knowledge. In that term that they use, the epistemology. The explanation for the basis and growth of the knowledge. The fine flour of the special bread. Right? All right. So I said, they accused him of giving the people the shewbread or the showbread. Shewbread means shoe. Spiritual insight is fundamental to all other knowledge. Yes. Doesn't Allah say, see how he raised up the heavens? And how he support those heavens seemingly with no pillars? It mentioned the bird up in the sky, held aloft, without flying, without any effort. Nothing holds him up but Allah. Isn't that Quran?
Yes.
So it's telling us that God has given first for man's stability, spiritual insight. Into the science of the spiritual order. Yes, so this is the shoe, you see, shoebread. But that special knowledge, that's the shoebread that's hidden in shoe, S-H-U. That shoebread, fundamental bread, that's hidden in shoe, the mythological deity of ancient Egypt, must come out of the darkness of Egypt and show itself. The shewbread must show itself. Now, they said, well, Christ Jesus, peace be on the prophet, they say, well, Christ Jesus, we don't mind you giving out the bread, but not on the Sabbath day. Sabbath talk is tomorrow. But there's nothing wrong with us getting a little taste of it today. Huh? Say, we don't mind you showing it, but you're showing it on the wrong day, Jesus. How come it's the wrong day? Because one day in the week represents the day when the people's minds are alert. Don't show it on this day when the people's minds are alert to catch what you're saying. Wait until we put them to sleep. Minds are alert. Don't show it on this day when the people's minds are alert to catch what you're saying. Wait until we put them to sleep. A better day, perhaps, maybe Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday when they're repenting. Or thirsty when they're thirsty as hell. Wait until there's an indication that they want this. How can they want it when they are dead? You have killed them. They can't thirst. They can't repent. You have them under your influence. So I come out on Thursday with Friday. I come out on Sunday with Friday. I come out on Wednesday with Friday. the hay. He makes the days change at his will. He makes every day Friday. That's not right. That's enough for that for today. Tomorrow is the talk on the Sabbath. And then you'll understand more. We don't want to waste all that time. We're going to say the same thing tomorrow. Inshallah, we are home, and we're going to go on out in the field. Praise be to Allah. Now, let's see here. So that's what he made lawful. He made lawful the thing that their leaders had made unlawful. They had made it unlawful to give a man the knowledge that would free him until he came to them and made obeisance. Yes. And I had a sheikh tell me, Brother Imam, we like you, but you won't ask. I didn't say anything. I haven't replied yet and never intend to. I got what I got without asking you. Why should I start asking you now at this late hour? No, I'm not coming into your circle. It's a three-ring circus. I don't want it. He says, it is Allah who is my Lord and your Lord. Then worship him. This is a way that is straight. Now, am I right? Is my reasoning right? If my reasoning right, how come these words now come up and the meaning is there and they make sense and they have big meaning and a big message now, when before you read it, there was nothing? It was just dry. But now the life comes to these words. And not boasting for myself, I'm boasting for my Lord. When Jesus found unbelief on their part, he said, who will be my helpers to the work of Allah? Said the disciples, We are Allah's helpers. We believe in Allah. And we do thou bear witness that we are Muslims. Now notice the word that are used here. Jesus said, Man ansari ila Allah. And they answered by saying, Nahnu ansarullah, amanna billahi, wa ashhad bi anna muslimun. See? So the word is Ansar. Ansar, that's the key. Help us. But help us to what? What is Ansar? It is of a word, victory. Help us to victory. Not just help us. Help us can be helping in anything. It could be helping me build a masjid. But help us for victory's sake. They have an object down the road. They have a goal to reach. He was asking for helpers that would help him in reaching the goal, gaining the victory. What is the victory? True freedom, justice, and equality. Who will be my helpers to free the minds of oppressed men so that that promised land of true freedom, justice, equality, dignity will come? A reality, or become a reality for us. Who will be my helpers? Isn't this a better meaning? Doesn't this carry more relevance? More relevance is here. Yes. And again, what is it saying? Jesus didn't ask for a dad. He didn't say who would become my Ibad. Ibadi means my slaves or my worshipers or my servants. He said, who will become my Ansars? He was asking for Ansars. He wants people to help him reach the victory. Those people that help him reach the victory are not his servants. That's why they answered, we are Ansarullah. We are the servants of God. And we bear witness that we are the true people, that we are the Muslims. Oh, how wonderful it is. Our Lord, we believe in what thou hast revealed, and we follow the apostle. Then write us down among those who bear witness. Their prayer was not to die on the wrong side, or not die and not be recorded that they were on the wrong, or right side, and not on the wrong side. Don't you know that's the heart of a true believer? He wants to be on the right side, and he wants the record to record him as he was, that he was not with the wrong people, he was on the right side. Praise be to Allah. And then unbelievers plotted and planned. And Allah too planned. And the best of planners is Allah. He didn't plan before they planned. Saying the unbelievers plotted and planned, and Allah too planned. Meaning he wouldn't have tripped them up while they had their eyes closed if they hadn't started doing that themselves to his servants. They wanted to trip his servants up while they had their eyes closed. So since they resorted to scheming, God came out with a greater scheme, which is justice. Because he had promised, didn't he promise, in older scriptures, that he would give his blessings to the leadership of the righteous? Yes. And the Jews, the thought that they were the favorite people, and that if God is going to raise up one, he must come from the Jewish people. You see? But they schemed to deny other people. So then he planned to bring in those that they kept out. And before they knew it, it was done. As the book says, he comes in as a thief in the night. So they thinking that they got it all locked up, that it's all secure for them. And there come a man preaching from among the illiterates, those that they shut out. And he got what they got. They said, how did it happen? Impossible. We got all the machinery in the world working for us. It's impossible that this happened. Does God really exist?
Yes.
We thought it was just in theory.
Yes.
Who taught them people? Behold, Allah said, O Jesus, I will take thee and raise thee to myself and clear thee of the falsehood of those who blaspheme. I will make those who follow thee superior to those who reject faith. To the day of the resurrection. Then shall you all return unto me, and I will judge between you and the matters wherein you dispute. All right. Keep thinking in the line that we're in. All right? And the relevance comes out. As to those who reject faith, I will punish them with terrible agony in this world and in the hereafter. Nor will they have any to help. They will have no helpers. Let us continue. As to those who believe and work righteousness, Allah will pay them in full their reward, but Allah loves not those who do wrong. Now that we know what wrong we're talking about, doesn't this have more relevance? Isn't this really the glorious Quran now? If you don't read it with the right understanding, it doesn't appear to be that glorious. I'm just telling the truth. See, you're afraid to tell the truth because you don't know it. I continue now. This is what we rehearse unto thee of the signs and the message of wisdom. Look how it's followed. It's saying that this is no ordinary conversation. This is no ordinary report. Allah speaking to Prophet Muhammad. And he says, this is what we rehearsed unto thee of the signs and the message of wisdom. So do you expect to get some ordinary meaning, ordinary sense out of that? Do you expect for that just to turn, that to be just pointing to general issues? If this is a message that God is letting Prophet Muhammad in on, signs and wisdom, then it should be pointing to something big in our life, not something ordinary in our life. And my explanation points to that is biggest in our life. So who are you going to believe, me or Sheikh Bushi Bushiba? I continue reading now. The similitude of Jesus before Allah is as that of Adam. He created him from dust. Then said to him, be, and he was. Wonderful Lord. Let's go on reading. The truth comes from Allah alone. See how all these words, all these verses now have great impact? But without that great, without that understanding, you read this as dead, flat stuff. I know. Because I used to read it as you read it. All those who bear witness that I'm speaking to, raise your hand. Wonderful. We have Ansarullah. Okay. Those upon me, the truth comes from Allah alone, so be not of those who doubt. Now, Prophet Muhammad was delivering the message to his people in his time. Now, we are blessed to get it the same way he delivered it in that time. That's why I tell you, don't be doubting Thomases. You don't have no excuse to doubt me when I bring you things that you couldn't see before and make meaning richer for you, clearer for you, more productive for you. So why should you doubt me? No justification. Let me continue to read. And if anybody has something to say to justify, speak up now. Let me hear now your excuse, right now. What is your excuse for not following me? Raise your hand. Tell me your excuse right now. Yes, tell me, anybody. Tell me your excuse right now. If you have a reason to not follow me, tell it right now. Anybody. So this will be the witness in the judgment that nobody had a word to say. Now, let us continue to read. If any disputes in this matter with thee, now after all knowledge has come to thee, say, come, let us gather together our sons and your sons, our women and your women, ourselves and yourselves. Then let us earnestly pray and invoke the curse of Allah on those who lie. So you think this is light stuff? Heavy message from the Lord of the worlds. Let's go on. Building up to the point. 62, verse 62. This is the true account. There is no God except Allah. So that means anything other than that is a false account. Those who say Jesus is a God, or the Holy Ghost is a God, or something other than Allah is God, that's a false account. Because Allah says here, this is true, the true account. There is no God except Allah. And Allah, He is indeed the exalted in power, the wise. But if they turn back, Allah has foreknowledge of those who do mischief. Now, you know, mischief is a word that old folks used to use.
That boy is always into some mischief. It means that that boy was a devilish boy. Sneaky. Mischief is sneaky stuff. Undercover. Don't even get CIA pay and doing CIA work among us. Yeah. They don't get no CIA pay, but they doing CIA work among us. For what? Go watch the criminals. This thing here is safe, pure, protected by Allah. Don't watch the thing that's safe and pure. Go watch the devils. Go out there and watch the people that's sinning out there in the world. And report to them, to your bosses, what they're doing. Did the imam make any political statement that we should take note of? Mr. Wrinkles? Or Mr. Ruffles? Well, I got about 4 tapes here. I think you better go through them. I don't know. You might see something in it. Some of the things you were saying, I think they're a little devious. Then the one that fell in love with me when he came down here to spy on me, he go back and tell him, I want you to hear this. The man seemed to be all right. But all them dogs, all of them are dogs. You should never let the world hire you to do a secret thing among your people that's doing everything in the open for your good. Now we come to the point. Say, Hul again. Yeah, it said it. It said, that's how it started over there before. It said, Hul. Adhantukum ala siwa. Now look, it's starting off the same way again. It's in a different chapter. It says, Hul. Ya أهل الكتاب تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء. That is again. Yes, I have found it twice, and in both places is connected with Jesus Christ. Are with people raising up lords that are not gods. So isn't this proof? Before I saw the connection in the Quran, it was my belief that in order to free these people, we have to first free them from imagery in religion that has made a Caucasian figure a divine. And purports to be Jesus Christ, which is nothing but a lie. All right. But now Allah has blessed me for my sincerity. He has blessed my innocence and sincerity with proof from the Quran. And not only from the Quran, also from Hadith. We don't have time for all of it today. Allah has blessed me with all the evidence I need to stand before any learned council and defend the stand that we take. Yes. تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم. Here is it's elaborating. It's making it more clear that we need equality.
between us and you. What are the conditions for that equality? Let's continue to read. Okay? We need this equality between us and you. We need this equality between Muslims and non-Muslims. Between Muslims and Christians, Muslims and Jews, Muslims and other people, in order to have peace on earth. Maybe we can't all have the same religion. Allah didn't intend for us to be of this, all be of one ummah. But at least can't we have truth? Can't we have terms of equality between us that won't exalt racists and make the people dupes and slaves to the racists? These are the conditions for peace on earth. The conditions for peace is not that you all become Muslims. Prophet Muhammad never came out with an army and a sword saying infidels all become Muslims or die. Whoever wants, let him come to the way that is straight. Whoever has the will, let him come. Whoever will not, let him go his own way. If Allah had intended that all people be one people, He would have made it so. So, O Prophet, why burden your heart with the struggle to make them all believe? If Allah had intended that they all believe, He would have made them one people. You see? So that's not the terms that the al-Islam want. Doesn't demand that all people become Muslims and confess Prophet Muhammad as the last messenger. No, it doesn't demand that. It invites them to come into this mercy and to this blessing. But it doesn't demand it. But what does it demand? It demands that we respect terms of social justice that bring the people into one frame of mind to accept to do right by each other and not to have imperialism, slavery, racial discrimination. Yes, these are the terms. Shall we read now? What is it? What is the requirement now? We want to know what is the conditions. Alla ta'buda illa Allah. Wa la tushrika bihi shay'a. Wa la yattakhidha ba'duna ba'dan arbaba. ولا تشرك به شيئا ولا يتخذ بعضنا وبعضا أربابا من دون الله. These are the conditions. Let's read them now in English. The conditions for this equality that must come, must be, is first that we do not worship any except the one Allah. Not Jesus, not anybody else as God. Do not have any divinity except Allah. وَلَا تُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا. And make no resemblance or more no likeness of Him. Some will say, oh, we're not worshiping Jesus. He is the Son of God, not God. He is only a means for us to see God through Him. Isn't that what they say? He's not God. He's only a means for us to see God through Him. So look how perfect the revelation is. It says, the terms are that we worship none except Allah. Now they will reply, we don't worship Jesus, we worship God. That's what some of them will reply, wouldn't they? Yeah. Okay, so here is the judgment for them. that we associate no partners with him. Don't they say he's in a trinity with that God? But the Arabic is even better. It says, "What la tushriku bihi shay'an." It means make no likeness of him. No image. No likeness. No comparison. Don't form any likeness or comparison. Don't say Jesus is one in the Trinity with God and that Jesus is like God. No, he's not like God. He's like a human being. Allah is like Allah and Jesus is like a human being. فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَقُولُوا اشْهَدُوا بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ. Now, it addressed the prophet, didn't it? In the beginning, it said, قُلْ. It didn't say, see here, it didn't say, قُلُوا, as the first, for this other example we gave. It didn't say, قُلُوا, it said, قُلْ, speaking only to the prophet, one person. Responsible. And here again the same way. Qul. To one person, the prophet. But look how it ends. Brings others in. It brings the believers in. It says, Qul here to the prophet, tell them to come to terms of equality. And the terms of equality necessary for equality between us and them is that they do not worship any except Allah and that they do not make image of equal to Allah anything or have any associates with him and do not raise up from among themselves from among us. See, the Muslim accept the obligation, same obligation that he put to the non-Muslim, he accepts it for himself. And that we do not raise up a Lord, and you do not raise up a Lord. So what is that telling those who raise up Lords? If we were devils, deceitful, lying, wicked people like you, we could easily raise Prophet Muhammad up as a Lord. We could easily raise him up as a Lord and say that God, he is God's only son. And people have to come to him for salvation. And with his powerful, clear message, we will get many more people than you can get with your lies and half-truths. But we are righteous people. We can't do that. We will not raise up any Lord from among ourselves. So we accept the same terms we present to you. We have accepted those terms for ourselves. The terms being that we raise up no Lord and you raise up no Lord. And it ends by saying, Allah instructing the Muslims, فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا, and if they turn away, if they don't accept those terms, قُلُوا. He didn't say قُل this time. Allah says قُلُوا, mean you all say. He involves all of us now. قُلُوا, and your committee represents this. قُلُوا. We're calling them, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
As followers of Prophet Muhammad, who was obligated to make the challenge, we have taken up the challenge as his followers.
Yes.
And we are calling the people, aren't we?
Yes.
And now Allah say to us, Kulu, Kulu shhadu, say we are witnesses. We bear witness, bi anna muslimun, that we are the Muslims. Isn't that wonderful? What is that saying? That's saying that Jesus came to make you Muslims, not Christians. You claim to be the followers of Jesus. You reject this? We bear witness that we are the followers of Jesus. The followers of Muhammad are the true followers of Jesus, and you are liars. Well, Allah brings the truth home. Oh, yes. Allah brings the truth home. And it's 3 o'clock. I didn't intend to go this long. But I thank you for your patience here today. And I pray Allah keep our faith clean and firm. Bless us to seek everything for His pleasure. Seek nothing selfishly. And to be a witness in this part of the world that the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad is not a thing of the past.
That's right.
I would like to, in my conclusion, read to you some words from Jet Magazine, this late issue. And these words come from the page Words of the Week. And from Billy D. Williams, who have set and heard my voice and my call and responded beautifully. He showed nothing but love and admiration for what we're doing when I met with him. Now look what he says. These are his words. A man who's in position to reach more ears than we can reach. He says, revealing why people should not be hung up on race. He says, and I quote Jet, quoting him, "My feeling is that there's something bigger than race on the horizon that we should be concerned about." He said, on the horizon. Horizon means something that's coming that's not yet peaked, but coming. A new front, new frontier. And what did he say it is? I continue now. That we should be concerned about. And then he says, I think it'll be more important than skin color. He said, I think it'll be more important than skin color. We are the keepers of the world. And there should be more important things to worry about than race. That man is talking. That man got something to say. That man is heavy. That man ain't no fool. He ain't no slave. He's free. And intelligent people, they hear what he say. Those on the top. And they say, look, a new mind is among these Bilalians, these African Americans. You hear what that man said? He said, we are the keepers of the world. So what he's saying to the world? He's saying, this child of the people you made slaves now realize that he has an equal share and an equal right to look over the welfare of the world with you. I'm not going to leave it to you to watch the world, to keep the world. He's saying, I have an equal
right or share in the leadership of the world, in that responsibility to look out for the world. Now look at old Uncle Tom shivering and almost wetting on himself. Yeah, you know, our people have been conditioned not to accept that kind of talk. Oh, no, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Well, we ain't got no right. The man is the boss. Hell, you don't know, the man will lock him up or have him assassinated. For what? For what? For being good and honest and true? Well, then tell him hurry up and do it, because if he can do it, Allah got something better for me. Then I know if he can do that, then Allah got something better than this life for me that he won't get me to. So if he going to assassinate me for doing that, tell him hurry up and do it. I'm hungry for what Allah got for me beyond this. But I don't think my job is finished and you can't do anything to me. I'm talking to the boss, not you. Oh, he's fanatical. That's dangerous. I better put that in the report. He was all right until he got hot-headed. Yeah, put that in the report. This man has understood what is his role in life. And he has accepted it, and he's not ashamed or too much of a coward. He's not weak. He's brave. He's courageous. He's strong. He's telling Jen what he wants African American people and all people that are shut out of the real dignity that Allah intended for them. He wants them to know that you have the same right that any other man has on this earth. Allah hasn't picked no race and given them responsibility for the management of this world to the exclusion of other people. He intended this responsibility to be shared by all people. Do we have any proof other than what we've read in the Quran? Yes. Symbolically speaking, what does the mountain mean in this world? Government. Yes, it has other meanings too. But what it means explicitly for them, government. And what does Allah say in the Quran? See how in the top of the mountain, the stones, intensely white, intensely black, intensely red, run together. Is that plain enough?
Yes, sir.
Is that plain enough?
Yes, sir.
What are stones referring to? It's referring to those people who have solid logic. They stand upon logic, rational truth, logic, stones. More solid than dirt. Right? Although dirt is better, because dirt produces our food. Life comes out of the dirt, not out of stone. But man needs the logic also to build government. Yes, to structure the society. He needs the logic. Yes. But what does the Quran say? That see how it runs white, intensely white? See how God has blessed the white race with that logic that's in the top of government sciences? And see at the top also how it runs intensely black? See how God has blessed the blackest man, the blackest race, with that knowledge too that runs in the top of government sciences? See how it also is red? See how he's blessed also the Asian with that same high science that runs in the top of government orders? Now, why should you shut out races since Allah didn't? Well, ain't no one race going to be responsible for the management of this world. We all claim a share of it. In fact, we don't claim it, we demand it. وَابْتَغِي فِي مَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ دَارُ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Seek by the means Allah has made available to you the promised life, but don't forget your share in this material world. As-salamu alaykum.